Assalamu alaikum. My name is Fatma Sabr, and I'm the host of your Muslim Girl podcast, where you can come to get advice and we can all learn and grow together. So today's episode is an advice episode, a good old Q&A. I think I haven't done one for a while, so I thought it'd be nice to hop on and answer some of you guys' questions. So alhamdulillah, here we are. When it comes to what I learned this week, I was listening to this lecture by Sheikh Bilal Asad. And he was talking about how, you know, each of one of us is going to have a legacy. And most of us are going to be forgotten by the third generation of our family after we die. And what it put into perspective for me is, look, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to remember everything. But people are going to forget basically everything. They're going to forget, you know, the things that you did, the people you talked to. But your impact is still going to be felt based on the habits and actions you encourage, whether good or bad. So I think that that was a really good reminder, and I highly recommend that you check it out and listen to it for yourself because it's very, very helpful, and it helps you think and reflect, which is so important because in this day and age, people don't think and reflect, and it's very easy to set aside that part of your mind. So that is something that I learned this week. When it comes to the quote of the week, it goes, we're human, we're meant to make mistakes, but if you learn from it, then it's a mistake well made. And the reason why I chose this quote in particular is because it's a Q&A episode and, you know, we're all going to make mistakes, but inshallah, this can be a place for you to come and get some advice and get some help and learn from your mistakes. And so before I start off with answering these questions, and mashallah, there are a lot of them, I do want to say that there are some questions coming in here that I'm simply not able to answer because I just don't have the qualifications to do so. So it's not because I don't care or I don't want you sending me questions or I don't like the question. It's more I don't have the expertise in that area. So if your question is not answered, that's the reason why. And on another note, if you are sending me messages through my Spotify chat box and you don't leave an email or an IG handle that I can contact you at and you say that you need to talk, unfortunately, there's nothing really I can do about it. Because Spotify, for whatever reason, does not let me contact people directly through that question box. So if you want to get in contact with me, either DM me, email me, or leave your Instagram handle in that Spotify box. So anyways, without much further ado, the first question is how to manage stress with finals and school, but still trying to stay on your Iman. And I get it. I am still a student. I know the stress of finals, I know exams are coming up for a lot of us, you know, and it's a difficult time, you know, more stress. And honestly, the biggest thing that I would say, and I told someone this a couple of weeks ago as well, actually, is that do something productive before you go to school. And I mean like productive, not only dunya-wise, but deen-wise as well. So this can look like, okay, you're listening to an Islamic lecture in the morning, like you're trying to learn about your deen, you're reading the Quran, you're reading it with tafsir, or, you know, what have you. And so, you know, do things like that. So managing stress, obviously working out, reading Quran, doing the, trying to keep a connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a way of reducing stress for you, right? So that is definitely something you can do. You can journal. I have some journal prompts available for you. You know, I have those journals on my Etsy page that you can check out to see what journal prompts I'm using or try to use when I have the time. So that's what I would recommend. And honestly, when it comes to improving your Iman and staying on your Iman, you have to make your Iman a priority. If you're still in, say, primary school or secondary school, you're not in post-secondary, you're not in uni yet, then make sure that you are going to pray Salah on time. Because I know for a lot of us, especially if you're living in the West, days are getting really short now. So it's hard for you to come back home and pray the because Asr is like right, you're like barely catching Asr if you wait until you get home to pray. So that is what I would say for staying on top of things, managing stress, dealing with school. Oh, and when it comes to school, do not procrastinate. I know it's hard. It is, you know, procrastination is something that all of us go through. But I think what's helpful to remember is that my action now is priming my brain on how to behave later. So if you feel uncomfortable doing something, like let's say you don't want to get started on some coursework and you decide to go procrastinate, you decide to go on Instagram, what have you, then your brain is going to say, okay, every time I feel uncomfortable, I am going to automatically do something to distract myself because I don't like that feeling. So you're priming your brain to avoid that responsibility. And what you really need to do is prime your brain through a series of systems to actually help you get the work done. And what can help with this is creating a specific study spot. Sometimes you do have to change up the study spot. Novelty is really important for our brain. So have, you know, plan out where you're going to study or where you're going to work, complete schoolwork, whatever the case may be. Figure out a place that you're going to work, you know, gather all your materials. You know, maybe you have a coffee, maybe you have your matcha, maybe you have fairy lights. I have fairy lights on my desk right now as I speak, and I just love how it looks. So maybe that's something you want to do, like make the place that you're going to study a place that you love, and then give yourself breaks as you are going through your schoolwork. I find that Pomodoro timers are really helpful with this, but if you feel like you're in a flow moment and you don't want to end until you finish the task, go for it, and then give yourself like a 5 to 20 minute break. So that is the advice that I would give you for that. And the next question that I want to talk about is fantastic, because I think living in the West, a lot of us don't have a lot of Muslim friends, or it's harder to find Muslim friends. And so the question goes, how do you balance your friendships with those that are not Muslim? Great question. That is something that I definitely relate to. And what's important to remember is that the relationship is not going to be the same, right? Because you don't have the same connection to them as you do to your Muslim friends. Because your Muslim friends, not only are you connected because you guys like the same things, you have similar morals, but you have the same religion, which means that that religion guides your behavior and your thoughts and your actions in a very similar way, or tends to. Right? When you have non-Muslim friends, their morals tend to be different because they're not guided by the same religion, right? So you need to bear that in mind. And obviously, like, you can, you know, love this person and care for this person, but remember that ultimately you have to make sure that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is your number one priority. And if this person is not in some way, shape, or form helping you get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it's time to start distancing yourself from that relationship. Or maybe, you know, they're saying stuff and you're uncomfortable with it and you're like, hey, you know, I think this person just doesn't know. And so, you know, talk to them about it. Like, hey, you know, I don't think these are the right kinds of conversations for us to be having. I know you're a great person. I know you are really kind, caring, XYZ. But I don't want to be having these conversations with you. You know, be honest. Don't be rude. Please don't be rude. That's not what I'm advocating for. But, you know, you do have the tools in your toolbox to say, hey, you know, I'm not comfortable with this. You know, like, just keep in mind, again, the relationship's not going to be the same. So the level of connection you're going to have this person, no matter how much you might care for them, is simply not going to be the same. I know it's a little bit of a, maybe more of a, maybe not a melancholy topic, but something that's a little bit sadder to think about. So that is what I want you to keep in mind. And ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for good friends. You know, the dua is the weapon of the believer. So ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for good friends. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves to be asked for things. So ask him for good friends. Ask him for righteous company. Ask him to reunite you with the best of company on the day of judgment. Remember, a person follows the religion of the person he loves, he or she loves. So then that's a call for us to look at our relationships and say, okay, what friendships am I investing time into? Who are these people that I love? Because ultimately, I'm going to be standing with them on the Day of Judgment. And if you love the Sahaba, and you look up to the Sahaba, and you love Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and you love the righteous predecessors, you're on the right path. And if you have friends that love them, inshallah, you're on the right path there too. So that's what I want you to bear in mind. So the next question is, should I start wearing the hijab in Ramadan? And honestly, I love getting questions about hijab. I love talking about hijab. But honestly, you don't even have to wait until Ramadan. Okay? I'm going to be entirely honest. You don't have to wait until Ramadan. You can start right now. You know? Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for help. Ask him to give you strength. I know with what's going on, it's definitely been difficult for our sisters to keep wearing hijab and openly show that they are Muslim. What with the rising Islamophobia attacks. And this isn't to discourage anyone from wearing hijab. Okay. But for those of you who are afraid of that, I want you to remember that whatever difficulty you go through in this life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to compensate you for it so much more in the hereafter. Like, you're going to look back at this life and think it was nothing. Because the pleasure of Jannah is so much greater than the trials of this dunya. So when it comes to hijab, you know, start surrounding yourself with people that are excited for you to wear it. Start surrounding yourself with people who wear hijab and who wear it beautifully. You know, follow people on Instagram, wherever, on social media, people that, you know, wear hijab, people that have good morals and good conduct, and people that are able to kind of boost you up iman-wise and help you with wearing hijab. So the answer is yes. Start wearing hijab. You can start wearing it now. You don't even have to wait until Ramadan. And honestly, I know there's a bunch of girls in our community who, you know, struggle with it. Or maybe your parents have forced you into it. And if that's you, then I'm so deeply sorry that that's your circumstance. However, what I want you to remember is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't mandate something that isn't for our benefit. And even though you put it on in this way that didn't necessarily make you happy, you can turn it into something that gives you joy. You can turn it into something that every time you put it on, it brings you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Use hijab as a reminder. Look, I am actively putting on something that marks me as a Muslim, and I am proud of that responsibility. Because I was chosen where other people were not. You know, isn't that beautiful that you're a flag bearer of Islam? You know, subhanAllah, you could bring someone to Islam just because you wear hijab and your conduct is good. So that's something to be proud of. That's something to be excited about. You know, so if you are thinking about wearing hijab, put it on. I will literally be your biggest cheerleader. You can message me and tell me you started wearing hijab. We can have our own little party over text, okay? Like, mashallah, that's so exciting. That's something to be proud of. Okay, so put it on. And inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to help you. And I know there's going to be struggles and difficulties that come with that. But inshallah, it's going to be so, so worth it. Because you're gaining Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's pleasure. Okay. So now I have a question that says, do you have any tips for people who want to convert to Islam? And the reason why I bring this up, or this specific question up, is because I know there's, mashallah, a lot of sisters in our community who want to revert or who are reverts. And so when it comes to people who want to convert, I would say, okay, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for guidance. Okay. If you have any questions, message me. I'll try to do my best to answer them. I am not a convert, which is, again, I want to bring up this question so I can give you a couple of resources. So, you know, message me. I can give you the contact number or the email of the sheikh who I trust. And mashallah, he gives, you know, good advice and he's very understanding. So, you know, I can give you his email if that's something you're interested in. I have a couple of resources available for people that want to revert. I know Yaqeen Institute has some convert resources on their website as well. I believe they're under the Ramadan section, but I believe they still apply. I've looked through them. So that's definitely places where you can go. And then start going to the masjid, you know, start learning about Islam, start talking to people that are Muslim, start making Muslim friends. Because once you have an environment around you that is Muslim, it's easier, right? Because now you have a support system built up around you. Okay, so the next question is, what does Islam say about therapy and mental health? So I actually have a full episode on mental health and what Islam's view on mental health is. So I highly recommend checking that out. However, I'll give a quick little rundown here. Okay, so Islam recognizes, you know, mental health problems as problems. Okay, there's no question about that. And, you know, there are means that you can take, obviously getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and, you know, putting time and effort into building this relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a fantastic way of helping you get through your problems. And that doesn't negate other resources that you can use to get better, right? You're not going to stand there. I've used this analogy multiple times. You're not going to stand there, look at a fire and say, alhamdulillah, I have patience, right? You still have to put out the fire, otherwise you're going to get burnt. So if for you that means going to therapy, go to therapy. If that means talking to people about your problems and not having to go to therapy, talk to people. If this means, I don't know, going to the masjid every so often and, you know, maybe you need to talk to a sheikh about something, then do that. You know, maybe there are physical remedies you can take. The Albina was a really famous one, you know, back in the day. So you have resources, and now more than ever we have resources, right? So use them, take advantage of them. And with that, I do want to give you a word of caution. Because sometimes when you have a non-Muslim therapist, they're going to tell you things that contradict what Islam says. So I want you to be careful, and I want you to know the deen to the point where you can say, okay, that doesn't seem quite right. Or research it. What does Islam say about X, Y, Z that the person you're talking to said? Okay? Do your research. You know, alhamdulillah, we have this influx of information, so take advantage of it. Okay? So the next question is, how do I tell my parents I want to wear hijab? I'm actually just scrolling through the questions that I got. I'm not answering them in any particular order. But I would, you know, okay. There are a couple of things when it comes to this question. The first thing to kind of take into account is your relationship with your parents. If your parents have always been like, oh yeah, you know, we would love for you to wear hijab, then just straight up tell them, you know, hey, mama, baba, I want to wear hijab. Or just show up, you know, leave the house wearing hijab. But if maybe your parents aren't necessarily the most accommodating of you wanting to wear hijab, then talk to someone else that has a good reputation with you and with your parents. Maybe you talk to your aunt and you have her tell them, hey, you know, so-and-so wants to wear hijab and it's really important to her. Or if you think that, you know, hey, they don't really want me to wear hijab, but I can convince them, then sit down and talk to them about it. Say, hey, you know, hijab is something I want to wear. I want to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala this way. I want to serve him this way. Then talk to them in that way, right? The main thing here is to be kind, respectful, and calm. Okay? And obviously, as with everything, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for guidance. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for help. And inshallah, he's going to make it easy for you. Okay? And so the next question is advice, tips, or goals for the new year. This is a fantastic question as well, because I think it allows me to kind of give you more general things that I've been thinking about. And so when it comes to just general advice, stay away from time suckers or time killers. You know, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, what have you. These things are very, they're very almost aggressive in how they hold your attention, right? They're very invasive. So you need to make sure that you are setting out those boundaries with your screen time. And then start to replace those things like Instagram, YouTube with productive things. Maybe you're watching like masterclasses or different workshops and boot camps on how to learn different skills. Maybe you want to look into marketing, or you want to learn how to speak a certain language, or you want to maybe, you know, learn a new hobby. Maybe you want to watch like painting tutorials, or if you're on Instagram all the time, you're on your phone all the time, maybe you start reading on your phone instead. So replace bad habits with good habits. Okay, that's the easiest way to kind of tackle that problem. And when it comes to goals for the new year and, you know, tips, things like that, I think this is where, inshallah, having a group chat for the Your Muslim Girl podcast community comes in. Because I've been thinking about making it, and at least 93% of you said that you wanted it. So inshallah, that's in the works. I will leave the link for it in the episode. Once I make it, I will post it on my Instagram. Don't worry. So inshallah, that is coming. And then inshallah, we can help keep each other motivated and help each other out. So yeah, those are my general tips. When it comes to goals and kind of habit setting, don't try to tackle on more than three things at a time. Okay, I have episodes where I've talked about habit setting and goal setting, and Atomic Habits is a great place to start if you want to learn about that kind of stuff. So definitely go start there. The next question is how to start your own podcast. And I also really like this question, and maybe I'll do like a super, super in-depth masterclass type thing at some point. Let me know if that's something that you want to see. So I started my podcast kind of on a whim. I had talked to one of my friends about it, and I was like, you know, how come there aren't that many advice podcasts for Muslim girls? You know, like, I feel like we're kind of isolated and in a relatively small community. So I started it because I wanted to help girls that were going through similar things to me. So that's an important thing, I think, when it comes to starting a podcast, is having a very clear why and then making the intention connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay. So maybe you want to help girls get through a specific thing. My podcast is primarily advice and, you know, working through different problems. But maybe you have something else that you want to talk about. But make sure that your intention, you're doing this for the right reason. You're not doing this for the accolades. You're not doing this for fame. You're doing this because you want to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay. So that's a big thing. And then also trying to stay consistent, you know, find a podcasting platform that you like and editing software that you like. Try to stay consistent with social media. I know it is a little bit hard, but that's definitely a way for people to learn about you and to get introduced to your content. So that is what I would tell you if you're trying to start your own podcast. And then next question is, what's your routine for getting out of a slump? That is also another fantastic question. And there are a couple things that I like to do just regularly. And I know that, you know, when I'm in a slump, I don't do these things and I don't feel super great. So obviously reading Quran, learning about the religion, and then I find reading nonfiction really helps. So in this category, it includes, you know, learning about the deen, reading different Islamic books, but also includes nonfiction books on things that I care about. So for me, I really like psychology, things like that. So finding those different aspects that you're super interested in, I highly recommend reading and learning different skills. I find that that's very, very helpful. So I don't know if I have a routine per se, but I have a couple of habits that I like to try to implement. So obviously Quran, dhikr, exercise, that's a pretty big one. And I think when I get into a slump, there gets to a point where I'm like, okay, you know, enough is enough. And then it kind of boosts you to get back on track. And so I think we need to leverage that kind of almost you feel like you're at rock bottom, or you feel like you feel stagnant, you know. So take that stagnation, and because feeling stagnant is not a nice thing. Our brain does not like not being challenged, which is weird because we love to relax and we love to have fun, but our brain craves challenge. So I would say if you want to get out of a slump, do something for 2 minutes. There's a very simple rule. Okay. There's a couple of things that you can do, a couple of rules that you can kind of combine to get you out of a slump. So I've seen this tip. I can't remember the name of the psychologist that introduced it, but she had a TED talk that I watched a clip of a little while ago. And she said, okay, if you want to get something done, but you feel kind of stuck, what you're going to do is you're going to tell yourself, okay, one, you're going to count from 1 to 5. And then once you get to 5, sorry, you're going to inverse it. You're going to go from 5 to 1. And once you get to 1, you're going to go and you're going to start the thing that you need to do. And then what you're going to do is you're going to do that thing for 2 minutes. Again, James Clear's rule, a habit has to be established before you can expand on it. And then you can stop. Or you can use the momentum. And let's say you don't want to stop after 2 minutes. You keep doing what you need to do. Okay. So that's the tip that I would give you for getting out of a slump. So the next question is how to get back on your salah after your period. This is another great question. And I find what helps with this is getting into the habit of making wudu every time you go to the washroom. So you're already in the habit of making wudu, and then salah is just the next step after. So you're decreasing the friction to the habit of salah. Because when you're on your period, you're not on that habit, right? You're not fulfilling that action. So when you decrease the friction to the habit of salah, it makes it easier. Obviously, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for help. You know, when the adhan comes on, remind yourself, oh, this is a time where I normally would pray. And just kind of take a second. Okay, you know, I would be praying right now. Kind of internalize that while you're on your period. And then inshallah, when you get off, it's going to be a little bit easier for you. Okay, so the next question that I'm going to answer is, how do you deal with laziness and no motivation? This is similar to one of the questions that I answered a little earlier. And the main thing is just sitting down and getting yourself to the point where you could start work. And what I mean by that is really, okay, I'm sitting at my desk, or I'm sitting at my dining room table, and I have my laptop open, and I have all my tabs open, and I'm just going to check my email, and then whoops, you know, now I can get to work. I just found that that helps, because my brain's following this pathway, like, okay, I'm going to check my emails, and then I'm going to get started with work. Or, oh my gosh, my tab's open, I'm just going to start typing on whatever I need to do. You know, so again, decreasing that friction to the action that you want to accomplish. That is huge. Let's say you're wearing workout clothes, okay? You are much more likely to work out because you're wearing those workout clothes than if you're not, right? So I find that, again, decreasing the friction to the action that you want to have happen, and then, again, using that 5-1 rule, right? 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Okay, I'm going to get started. 2 minutes, stop, and then you can keep going. And I think what's also important is to not completely psych yourself out. Oh my gosh, I haven't done XYZ and this is going to ruin my entire day, and I haven't done this and I haven't done that. Stop. Give yourself a second. Okay, you know, here's what I'm going to do for the next 5-10 minutes. I'm going to sit down. I'm going to work. I'm going to focus intensely on this thing. And then I can take a break. And so just kind of taking the pressure off yourself and giving yourself the ability to focus on one thing at a time is really, really crucial. So, again, there were a couple questions on, you know, relationships, things like that, that I'm just not qualified to answer. So, unfortunately, I wasn't able to answer those questions. And some of the questions I kind of answered in indirect ways in other questions. So, if you didn't hear your question on here, that's why. It's not because I don't care. It's because they were either answered specifically or indirectly, or because I simply don't have the expertise. And as for the group chat, inshallah, that is coming. And again, if you want to contribute to the book initiative that I'm trying to get started, I need illustrators, writers, authors, you know, photographers, inshallah, to get on board with this. I want to collect as much artwork and so on as possible for this book, so inshallah, we can publish it and help raise awareness for the people of Palestine that way, and also raise money, inshallah, that way as well. The proceeds, inshallah, will go to Emergency Palestine Relief. So I would really, really appreciate it if you contributed. You can message me, you know, again, through email at yourmuslimgirlpodcast@gmail.com, DM me at yourmuslimgirlpodcast, or you can leave your Instagram handle in the Spotify question box. So, you know, don't forget to make dua for our brothers and sisters in Palestine. May Allah ease their suffering. And inshallah, I will see you next week. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.